life on the road. It's booze, tacos, angry dwarfs, strippers waving guns,
and
bees fights, candle flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow more, missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.
Pick up your microphone, Joel Madison.
Pick up your microphone.
Thanks for tuning in to the Road Stories Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Murray Valeriano. We're part of the All Things Comedy Network. Maybe the second episode of 2019. Maybe the first. I still haven't decided which one I'm airing today. So
you could be the first.
Are we the
Joel?
Second one of the day or the first that you've done?
You're the first of the day, but could be the second of the year.
Okay.
Or the first of the year.
Could
but you're the first of today.
Okay.
Now you got some pressure.
Totally.
If you're funny enough, you could move ahead and be the first.
You could bump Michael off this.
I think it'll be the
Steve
fourth.
You're like Ohio,
the way we're going so far.
You're like Ohio State looking on the outside in of the playoff system. Of comedians.
I was about to say that same thing.
All right, we have no politics and no sports.
Oh, no sports now either. Okay.
unless it involves oceans and skate parks, there's no sports.
This has all the makings of the unaired episode of the podcast.
The archives, like 100 years from now, they're going to start digging through the internet and
this
find
one
this
didn't
one
make
never
it.
Aired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, joining us on this lovely, cold, and slightly drizzly Sunday afternoon is Joel Madison.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah?
Doing good.
Ran into you at the Improv the other night.
Yeah, that was fun.
What was
the
that,
other
like
night?
A month ago?
Yeah, like 6 months ago. But it's always the other night.
It's between, I don't know, my wife's like, the other night for you is either Thursday or a year and a half ago.
So. Always. That was a fun night.
Mm-hmm.
It was some big showcase for somebody.
Oh, was it that? And was it the one Pardo was hosting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, yeah, I went down. This is how
Omnipop Omnipop showcase.
This is how a good definition of how my career goes. I got a possible spot at Long Beach. Or like, you know what? I'll just try and grab a fallout at the Melrose Improv.
Yeah,
so go to the Melrose Improv. Complete Omnipop showcase in one room, and then the all female show in the other room. I'm like, well, I'm not getting on either of these, so I should have gone to Long Beach.
Go there, you go.
So instead, I hung out at the bar, drank, and ran into Joel.
Right, and we took some pictures for Facebook, and it looked like we were really doing the deal.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did you post them?
Yeah.
He always posts them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's very good at posting.
I'm sure I did.
Really? I'll have to go back and look.
All right. Geez, if I didn't, I apologize.
All right.
Maybe I tagged Murray took this picture of me and the other people.
Or maybe you tagged a different Murray.
No. Oh, that is possible.
There are very many.
I'm going to go back and look, too.
All right.
Or you know what? Let's make an appointment right now to go to the Improv again, because that was a long time ago.
Pictures.
Yeah. I might be there tonight. I haven't decided. And then
depending on when this airs,
yeah, and also over this is true, and also depending on if there's an all female showcase.
Who were some of the females?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay,
I don't remember.
All right, but you know who else we have with us today?
Who's that?
My good friend Ross Keith Nelson.
All right,
Keith Ross Nelson,
or in
Ross
any order you want.
Nelson Keith.
When you said that, I'm like, am I calling you the wrong name all these years?
No, he's got the name right. It's just the wrong order, but that's okay. That's what happens
already?
When you have three names.
When you
have
names,
Why do you go three names, just out of curiosity?
You really know
why. It's Keith Ross Nelson, by
actually,
the way.
So you don't think I'm a serial killer or pretentious. There's another comedian named Keith Nelson.
Oh, okay.
Didn't even know.
Right.
You know how I found out? Got a call from my friend and go, man, they didn't like you in Seattle. I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, they did a review in the newspaper and they hated your act. And I go, when was this? He goes, about 3 weeks ago. Well, that's weird because I wasn't in Seattle 3 weeks ago. So that's how I found out there was another guy.
That's hilarious.
So then I looked him up. And it was like, oh, my God, just terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And so I go, okay, I got to do something. So that's where the Ross came, because that was my name when I was born. It was Keith Ross. My great-great-grandmother is actually Betsy, who made the flag.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah, that's true.
Betsy Ross
Betsy
Nelson?
Betsy Nelson.
She tanked in Seattle, I heard.
Yeah, she tanked in Seattle, too. But Betsy Ross did not do well in Seattle. That's why they stayed with 13 states for a while.
That really, that's cool. That's a cool piece of history.
So I went back to my original name and then tagged on Nelson at the end.
Where'd you get the Nelson from?
Because my second dad adopted me.
Oh, okay.
Because I never saw my first dad. So
okay.
A lot of good being related to the Rosses.
But you go by Keith Nelson again here and there, right?
No, because what happens is, because they know me from before, Keith Nelson, they'll just put Keith Nelson. So, and sometimes they'll go, do you want me to introduce you as Keith Nelson or Keith Ross Nelson? I go, Keith Ross Nelson, if you don't mind. I always say, do you don't mind? Because they got to remember now right. one more name.
And what's going
and
on with
go
that
up
other
and say,
guy?
Say, hey, welcome to the yeah. stage, Keith Raymond Nealon.
right. Completely.
John
right?
Wayne Gacy.
totally.
Any Lee Harvey Oswald. He goes by Keith Ross Nelson now.
what's that other cool. Keith Nelson doing?
I don't know. I just don't want to be associated with
well,
him anymore.
Well, I hate to surprise you guys, but Keith, come on in.
this is your life.
Feast joke. I can't take credit for that. What I was just gonna Keith Ross. No, I just gonna ask you something. I'm a little out of it today, guys.
It's
I apologize.
All right. I actually heard he was in Branson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is where he belongs, probably.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Huh. His own theater in Branson.
Or opening for, you know, whoever.
When I
the potential Roy Clark, the next Roy
sure.
Clark.
R.I.P. Roy Clark. Oh, when my, you remember that old, speaking of Pat Wilson, we're talking about Pat Wilson. Remember when she had Mesquite?
Oh, yeah.
That gig in Mesquite?
Yes.
And it was really good.
Yeah.
And it paid really well. And then somebody else took it over
yes.
and cut all the pay. And then it went under.
And then somebody else took it over.
Oh, somebody took over after that?
And cut the pay even more.
Okay. Well, my parents followed me out there one time because they just happened to be in town when I had to do it. And I went out there. And the only time my dad was impressed was at the Mesquite gig, of all places, right? Of all places, a total B-level room.
Yeah.
But he saw.
But they packed it. It held 400, and it was always packed.
It was always packed.
And they were always great audiences.
And it paid really well.
And it paid well. Yeah,
for sounds like an A room to me.
Yeah. yeah.
Jeez, packed, and they pay you.
Yeah, it was good pay for one show.
But my dad came with me, and he saw Roy Clark was going to play there, and he was like,
it's impressive.
Hurry. Oh, my God.
You've made it.
You're with
yeah,
Roy Clark.
He was there like a month later.
Oh,
but
my God.
I was on the
but
same,
that was it.
But yeah, that was the yeah. one where he was like, wow.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I used to go by Murray V when I started because nobody could pronounce Valeriano.
Yeah.
And so some of the old timers.
With
like,
two E's?
Just V.
Just
period.
V. Okay.
V period. So I Murray guess it would be like three names, Murray, then V, then the period would be my third name.
right.
I guess.
Murray V period.
So some of my old friends like Alan Murray or Chris McGaha will be like Murray V when I run into them just from back in those days. But I can't go by Murray B because everybody expects this big Goomba Italian.
Hey, kind of, it's a different, yeah. it does say that you're that kind of act and that kind of guy, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I am Italian, but I'm the least Italian.
Yeah, I don't see you doing that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I think there's a Tony V on the East Coast who's like that.
I think there is.
Right? I think so. No offense to Tony V. I've never seen his act. Yeah. I don't know what he does.
Yeah.
Unlike
you
Keith
could be
Nelson.
Murray B. Keith V. Keith V, hey,
I was still recovering from the Roy Clark thing. I was like, Murray says, look, hey, by the way, I'm playing Bakersfield at the Buck Owens Theater.
yeah, right, that's next. Oh, my God, can you imagine?
Crystal Palace, Palace, right?
Yeah, maybe you should stay out for another week, Dad.
I have very few regrets in my life, but my one regret is that I never went out to see Buck Owens play out there in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Because he played every Friday and Saturday or something
I agree.
Until he died.
Man. You must have read the biography.
No, I didn't read the biography.
Oh, gosh. It's such a great biography.
I was
always a fan, but I never knew the depth of his work ethic and his history, really.
He had that
amazing.
He went in that huge depression after his backup singer died.
Yeah.
I forget his name back when he was with the Buckaroos.
I was trying to get that name in my head real quick. He's a guitar player.
And he didn't want to sing anymore because he's like, I can never harmonize as good as I did
with that guy.
I think he died in a car crash.
A motorcycle accident.
Motorcycle accident. Okay.
Yeah. You read the bio, you know this stuff.
Yeah.
Buck said, don't buy a motorcycle ever. And
yeah,
the guy
yeah.
went out, bought a motorcycle, and drove back from a gig on the motorcycle and died.
Yeah.
I'm looking
who
up his
are you,
name
Dwayne
now.
Allman? You're not supposed to be. Rock stars are supposed to die in car crashes and plane crashes.
By the way, three white guys in glasses and gray hair talking about Buck Owens.
Yeah,
it kind of makes
stereotypical. Yeah. Just got glasses,
for you millennials that don't know what we're talking about.
Just got glasses yesterday for the first time in my life.
You didn't have them before? They look like they're natural on you.
Oh, really? Thank
Good
you.
Color.
It's hard to get. I'm having a hard time
But
getting
now that
them.
I know what your wife does, I can see that's why you dress well and look good all the time.
Oh, thanks.
She's a costumer.
I don't know
in
if
the costume department.
If I look good, she doesn't know. I don't know if she'd want to take credit for my independent skate trucks t-shirt and the same pair of camo.
Yeah, he always looks. Yeah,
the same pair of camo pants I've been wearing every day for the last 6 months. I don't know if she wants to take credit for that.
They work.
Yeah.
The guy's name, Don Rich.
Don Rich, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
wow.
Go back and look at some of those great old Buck Owens and his Buckaroos.
The Buckaroos.
Good
stuff.
He did
not want to do Hee Haw, but he was.
Yes.
He did not.
He did it. He always thought Roy Clark was always trying to make fun of him and joke around too much. And he was a serious musician. And the country people kind of turned their back on him.
Oh, because he did Hee Haw?
Yeah, they thought
really?
It was a joke. They thought he was a, and oh, I mean, his hardcore fans are always his hardcore fans.
Sure.
And he always felt like he was letting his hardcore fans down by doing this joke show.
Right.
And not being more of a real musician.
Wow.
But anyways.
There is a,
you know, he's awesome. He's an awesome cat.
There is a show at the old at the Harris, at the old Improv called, and we probably, I know I've talked about this on the show before, and it's called Country X, and it's an R-rated Hee-Haw.
Oh, is nice.
It's like a topless Hee-Haw.
Who books that?
We can, I'll tell you who
you know
books
what?
It.
Me and Keith are going to write an act. How you doing?
But they have a comedian because there's like a 10-minute costume change. I don't know what they're changing.
They got a country comedian?
They don't get a country comedian. Oh. They just hire a local Vegas. I wish I could. Okay. It's not Harry Basil who books it. I think it's John Bizarre might book it.
Okay. Bizarre.
Is that right?
Oh,
is that the right
gosh.
Guy?
John Bizarre.
Is it John Bizarre?
I know he lives in Vegas.
Okay,
now.
I think it's him and his wife maybe book it, and they rotate comics in and out.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
It used to go on after the Improv. Like, the Improv would do two shows, and then they would do the midnight. So I was there, and Dennis Blair.
Dennis Blair, sure.
Yeah, of course. Dennis Blair's been on the show. Carlin's opener for 20 years.
Yeah.
He did it, and I'm like, I got to stick around to see that. And no comic ever does well. Because nobody's there to see comedy. Right. They're there to see boobs and listen to really bad country music.
Right.
So
they're just filling time
dirty,
because of the
filling time. They're filling time. Yeah. That's it. So they can do their costume change. But Dennis figured it because Dennis plays guitar.
So that helps.
So that got him going.
Yeah, he comes out and plays like a, and I hope I'm not giving away your act, Dennis. He like some spoof of like, thank God I'm a country boy or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we're not seeing, that gives them 4 minutes of realizing they're not seeing boobs.
Gotcha.
And the next 6 minutes is all death.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I would do it.
Wow.
John Bizarre's listening. I could use a night. I could use some work.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. There's nothing wrong with that. How many minutes you got to do?
I think you do 10.
10, so they can change their clothes.
Yeah.
into
other clothes are going to take off.
Yeah. Right.
There was another great, I'm harkening back to the Vegas, I haven't worked Vegas in a few years, I kind of miss it. But there was another great, all right, did you ever see Casino?
Yeah.
All right, you remember when De Niro's character got the talk show in the casino?
Yeah.
It's based off this guy's show that's now at the South Point.
Oh, the Dirty.
Does, where he does a talk show?
He does a talk show at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Oh, nice.
And it's like it's in that 400 seat theater.
Yeah.
It's free, so it's sold out and it airs on local Vegas. And TV. So it's all singers, it's all stuff like that. So what made me think of it is Dennis Blair was scheduled to do it, and I was at the Improv and he couldn't do it. So he's like, come on down and do it. And it was so much fun, man.
It was 400 people.
Oh, yeah. 2:00 in the afternoon. I put on a 3-piece suit.
Sweet.
You know, because it's so old Vegas, you know, the cocktail waitresses, and I followed this lounge singer, and then I did panel with him. I sat on the couch for like two segments of the show. It was a lot of fun. It was great.
Cool.
It's nice to put on a suit at 2:00 in the afternoon when you're not going to a funeral.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they paid you a couple of bucks, but they also gave you this $100 gift certificate to an Italian restaurant on the strip. So I called, I think it was Danny Viapondo. I don't know if you guys know Danny.
Yeah, Danny V.
Danny V.
Danny V. Nice.
Yeah, not to be confused with Tony V.
Danny V. and Tony V. Going to be there about 3:30.
Danny Viapondo Nelson. Yeah. So I'm like, I can't eat $100 worth of food. Let's hit this, man. And so we hit it about 3:30. Added some martinis onto the tab. Didn't sobered up before 8:00 show. It was great.
Wow.
It was fantastic.
Oh, Vegas is fun. I've never played Vegas. You've played Vegas.
Yeah.
You never played Vegas?
No, it was kind of, there wasn't really much going on when I retired.
When did you retire?
Like 92.
Oh, you retired that long ago?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I got a job writing, and I just, at that time, I know a lot of cats can do it now where they'll write all day and then go out and try to get sets at the Improv, but that wasn't happening. We were there till about midnight every night, and so I was just starting to get spots at the Improv, and I'd call to get my spots, and I'd have to call and cancel constantly, and after about 2 weeks, I go, that guy's going to be starting to get mad at me.
Yeah.
So I go, I just can't. I know the boss is a knucklehead.
Mm-hmm.
We're here midnight to 1:00 every night. That's just the way it is, even though they in the morning they thought we weren't, or it was like, well, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. But then, so I just stopped.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize it was, I thought you were later, like late 90s was when you retired.
Early.
But you're back.
Early 90s. I'm back. with You're a force. Back. I got to put together a country act. That's what I'm thinking.
He offered to do that show. He offered to open for me with his 5 minutes.
Yeah. Anytime. Said. Anytime you need a good five, Keith can.
And he's
bet,
great to follow, man.
Right? No, I'm an easy follow.
He is because no, it's no because
oh,
that God, sounds like
oh, great to follow.
Hold on, wait, wait. There's it sounds like I'm insulting him. Yeah.
No, I understand.
Semantics. I mean, great to follow is different than easy to follow.
That's a totally different conversation. And in fact, the guy last night, because I did Lancaster Performing Arts thing, and the guy, Sam Ridley, who was the opener, oh my God, he just, I already knew, I just said, oh man, this, I'm going to just, my 15 or 20 is going to, and I killed.
Oh, yeah, you can tell.
As good a set as I've ever had.
Anyway. Oh, well, nice. And this is a two thing. There's a guys that and gals that will help train the audience before you get there, the person before you, and then there are people that are so bad that it's just like
they untrain the audience.
Yeah.
And then now they've made your job harder.
Well,
that was what I was saying.
Or have you ever done this where you're up and you go, you get to that third joke and they might not laugh and you go, I can bring that other guy back up. No, anything but that. Yeah.
But so. what I find is most of the time is if you're going up in front of the guy who's just not, especially if they're new and then you go up, and you know what you're doing, you can feel the audience just kind of relax.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay,
this guy knows what he's doing. Yeah. All right. You know, because everything's a little tense and weird.
Yeah.
And so you were with Tim Meadows. There was a girl on the show. I don't want to say her name.
Jen Murphy.
Okay.
Woman.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my God.
Woman. Can I just say woman? Woman on the show.
That was amazing.
I thought you were asking me. I already know where you're going. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't even think this is bad because I've taken Jen out with me before, and we all know Jen, and Jen's been on the show. She's fairly dirty. And I was wondering if you follow her or she.
I followed her.
Okay.
Because
she can clean it up too.
Yeah, she was kind of. Halfway to what she usually is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. No, absolutely.
Yeah. So Sam did 15. She did 15. Then I went on. They took a 10-minute break between me and Meadows. But it was like.
But I've seen you like destroy after like five acts that have been fairly dirty.
Yeah, because I don't worry about clubs.
Yeah.
Their thing.
Sure.
And the one thing I figured out from doing it so long is. We've had this conversation, Joel and me, but your rhythm is your rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
What guys make the mistake is they try to do the rhythm of the person that was just on.
Oh.
Or try to jump into their, not even so much rhythm, but you try to jump into their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, trying to jump on a moving train that's really going too fast and you can't quite. So you have to catch your own train.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if somebody just slays it and you can't follow that, nor should you try.
Right.
So either have the MC do two jokes before they bring you up
or
go up and tell them, just make them keep applauding for the guy that just slayed till they're sick of him and then start.
One more applause. Seriously. Yeah. Wasn't that person good?
Seriously. That's what I do, man. And then I build my own bridge.
One for his wife. Let's give him one for his wife.
Yeah. And his family and his family's family.
Come on. Absolutely. You know what? A standing ovation for that guy. Come on.
Yeah.
Because he deserves more.
Yes. That's
right. The hell with you people.
Yeah. Because the more.
You know what? I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And that's your act.
Yeah. That's it.
Thank
because
you.
The more time you can buy.
Yeah. Now you've wasted. Hey, you know what? With that theory, I got 8 minutes now because I could do three, get an applause for the MC, and then do my five. What do you think?
But yeah, there's guys like him and the guy last night that are very. I mean, I met him. I had never met Sam before. I met him backstage, and I go, as soon as I, you know how you meet some people and you go, wow, I could be buddy. It's like the first time I met you.
Right.
Ventura. I go. And sadly, I live in Canoga Park. You live down here because I was thinking of it last night. Actually, 2 days ago when he called me and said we're going to do the show. And I'm going, I kind of felt bad because I said, damn, I haven't seen him for a year. And now I'm just doing his show.
I was also in the hospital for most of the year.
So. Yeah. So there's
Right. You know. But it's
we didn't see you in the hospital either.
There's guys.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Joel.
All right.
You know, there's that small group of 1 out of 10 guys that when you actually walk in the room and see him, you go, I'm really taking comedy out of that.
Yeah.
That's a person I'm glad to see every single time, because they're just, you're like one of those guys. He's like one of those guys. This guy, I said, I'm sending him a Facebook message today with my telephone. I want to be friends with this guy because he's just, he's never going to say something stupid. This is how I judge it. This is how I always judge it. Okay. I think I've told you this. I always judge it like this. If he was in my house, is he going to say something really stupid in front of my kid or my wife? And I'm like, you're not, you're going to be funny, but it's like, there's funny there, and there's funny in the club, and then there's funny with your family. That's a totally...
And what would you say the percentage is? About 90% of comedians would not be able to...
No, I would agree.
Yeah. I agree.
90%. I don't know if it's 90, but it's at least...
It's high.
It's really high.
90s, yeah, it's way over 50.
Yeah.
It might not be 90. But,
oh, I thought I was being generous at 90. Yeah. Because I talk to my wife about this all the time, about how the biggest... What's that?
Do you have kids?
I do. Okay. I have a kid. She's going to be 13.
Oh, nice.
Real darn soon.
Awesome.
Yikes. And I talked to her about this. No, I never talked to her. She doesn't talk to me. About the fact that there's some, like, in going back to stand-up after all these years, there is a plethora at every level of stand-up of just knuckleheads.
Knuckleheads.
Yeah. And it doesn't make you a bad comic or whatever. And again, at every level. Yeah. But stand-up is an interesting, stand-ups are an interesting group, man, women, whatever, whatever gender.
Yeah, I don't know. I always hate when people are like, you know, oh, we're comedians, we're crazy, we live, you know, but they're mostly broken. They're not crazy. They're mostly, there's something
off.
And it's not like a, for most, it's not even a cool thing usually when you find out what really happens to them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh, okay. Well, I don't know how you're making that funny, but good for you.
Yeah, a lot
right.
Of
and
people.
You know, here's that's like a really interesting point because I always talk about, and I hate to use my wife as the example, but she is the example.
Use Joel's.
You could use mine.
Really?
As an example. Let me throw that in. As an example.
By the way, I've never met his wife. He hasn't allowed me in his house.
No, so no, no. Why do I need that aggravation?
You're part of the 90%. You don't
I know. For me, you're
90%. 13-year-old.
I go, Joel likes me, but not
never
that
been
much.
In the house. Never been in the house.
I've never been in the house.
Yeah, wow.
No, a big strapping guy like him, handsome, I don't have a chance. My wife would leave me in a minute. She's looking for a reason.
She's a school teacher. I don't think she's that stupid. She graduated from college. I don't think she's going
to. Well,
but, you know, that's like a really interesting point because I think I possibly was one of those 90% till I met my wife.
Oh, interesting.
Because, and here's what, because I always tell my wife this. Yeah. I always tell my wife this. I said, you know, it's like I've lived two completely different lives.
Mm-hmm.
There was before her. It's like AD and you know, it's like BC before Christ and after Christ. She's my after Christ.
Huh? Never mind. You explain to Murray and me what BC meant and AD, just for the record. But it's for the people out there.
Yeah,
we knew.
Yeah.
I assume there might be somebody out there.
Later on, we'll go into AM and PM.
Now, Murray, Christ was a fella back in the olden times that used to... You know what? And I'm going to trace it. It's like that pawn show.
Oh,
that pawn show. The guy gets something from the Civil War, and he goes, "Now the Civil War was that war between the." We know this.
Why? The
pawn shop guy. He goes like, "Football is a game played between two teams."
Say it more for the listeners.
Because you know his demo. So.
I did.
Anyway. Sorry.
I did a show. I did the exact same thing, but in front of an audience.
Oh, did you?
And the comics just for the rest of the show. I said something like, I was talking about the Northern Lights, but I call. Well, I don't know, look, now I'm going to be an idiot. What are they? What is the term for Northern Lights?
They're Aurora Borealis.
I'm like Aurora Borealis. Yeah. Everybody know what Aurora Borealis is, and everybody was like, fuck you.
Well, you were in Alaska.
And for the rest, and for the rest of the show, people were like, sorry. You know, the other comics were like, sorry, we didn't know what Aurora, and just fucking railed me for
just
an hour and a half.
Breaking
and
you.
I needed
breaking
it. Both. I deserved everything.
There you go.
It.
All right, so I'll take my beating.
Okay.
So anyway, go back.
After your wife, you became.
No, my point is.
Less of a knucklehead.
Yeah.
No, so, AW, sorry.
AW.
When you're. Your wife. When you're. and that's a pretty good term for it, broken.
Mm-hmm.
Until you're fixed, whether it's you decide to fix yourself or whether you become self-aware enough to know you're broken, which I think is a really good point.
That's a good point.
I don't think these people even know they're broken, some of them.
Oh, yeah,
all right?
Definitely.
Okay, so, but when you're broken, you're drowning.
Yeah.
Okay, you're drowning in, it's like John Bonham, you're choking on your own vomit, basically.
Right. Yes.
But you don't know you're choking on your own vomit. But then if somebody comes in your life, or you become self-aware, or you decide to go get therapy, whatever you do. For me, it was my wife. Now, she's brought me up to the top of the ocean, and you're going, fuck me, there's a sky up here, I'm on a life raft, somebody's bringing me some pineapple, there's a whole nother world. So you become more self-aware, and you're going like, which is now why I can go into a comedy club and sit in the back room and not talk to anybody, and I don't need their justification. I don't need to start any. I don't need any drama.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure on both sides of that coin. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, this side of the coin, much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to be the guy that people are going, oh God, here comes Keith, that fucking crazy guy. You know. You don't want to be that guy.
You say they kind of did before a little bit, right?
I think they probably did.
Well, you got into some altercations.
OSC, then. OSC, other side of the coin.
Other side of the coin, absolutely.
OSC. And my wife, your next album,
and my wife will sometimes, well, I'll give you a little story, and then we'll go to whatever we're going to next. Like, here's the part of the self-aware thing. Okay, so my wife's Asian. She's Filipina. When she has her friends come over, Filipina girls, I'm just pretty much myself. I mean, if they talk to me, I'm like I am with you guys,
right,
without being, you know, an idiot comic.
A 90%er.
Yeah.
90%.
I'd be like the normal guy in the room for what they want.
Regular husband guy.
Hi, nice to see you girls. Have a good time with my blah, blah, blah. When the guys come with their wives, Filipino guys, I never speak unless I'm spoken to, ever.
Really?
And here's why. We went over there in 1898 and fought the Spanish, okay, and got them out of there. So on the one hand, the Filipinos love us for that because, I mean, they were doing all the shit people doing war, burning villages, raping women. We stopped that. But then we stayed, you know, for 100 years with the military bases
and
we were present. You know, we built their schools because they got a lot of these schools, you know, they teach them English and all this. So on the one hand, it's a love-hate relationship, especially with the guys, because they look at us like, well, how would you feel if they came here and fought a war for us and then stayed?
Yeah.
It was very demasculating to your culture.
Sure.
So those guys don't like, you know, white guys, Americans.
Well, it's becoming a common.
That's a whole other conversation.
Right.
So, consequently, you know, by doing that, I get along really good with the Filipino guys because they always go back to my wife or their wives. Oh my God, we really like Keith. Okay. Blah blah blah. But it's just that's being self aware enough of who you're dealing with in
don't
that moment. Don't be a jackass.
Yeah, that
you know?
Makes sense. I guess the Bataan Death March is a bit of a road story,
right? So that it qualifies.
Oh, the road stories.
Yes,
the British road stories.
Yeah,
I got three.
Speaking Joel, of which. Joel, what did you message me with the other day? You were like,
you have a story.
You're like,
you
Keith,
wanted?
No,
Keith and I said we got new stories.
We got new stories. That was a complete lie to get us here. I don't have any. I have zero.
Oh,
I was pounding my head this morning.
No.
I'm going to have to write up a couple fake ones.
Oh no, I have always
including one where I was on a cruise ship and I shit myself in the show, but I couldn't figure out an end for it.
Yeah,
but
that
I
was actually Kip Adada's son.
Yeah,
there you go. A little callback to that. No, I got three great. Oh my God, these are great stories.
Right,
I think.
Oh, Joel, by the way, since you're not going to be speaking for a while,
yeah.
Can you Google to see if John Bonham actually choked on his own vomit?
All right, and if he knew about it, if he was self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
I think both Bonham and Bon Scott of
AC/DC,
both of them choked on their own.
It's such a yes, from
different font.
Yeah, they weren't in the back seat together when they were choking.
That great line from Spinal Tap where their first drummer choked on somebody else's vomit.
Oh my God! That's so funny. So
yes,
I credit Paul Dudridge.
I don't think I know him.
Yeah, he's a director now.
Okay.
He's done two low budget movies. The first one did really well. Anyway, but he used to be an agent in England. Mm-hmm. So the first story he tells me, And he told me these stories like I'm telling you three in a row, and I laughed so hard. The first story is he had this comic. I don't remember. By the way, I don't remember any of these comics' names.
Okay.
But I just remember
the
story.
Just call him Jen Murphy.
Jen Murphy. There you go. So for 10 years, he's been trying to get this British comic on Just for Laughs in Montreal. Uh-huh. And after 10 years, he finally gets him on the show. And he's got a 10-minute showcase. And this guy's so excited. So he goes to the Just for Laughs festival. They introduce him. He comes on stage. And he goes, "Hey, moose fuckers." They pull the plug on the mic.
Really?
That was it. 10 years, he waits to get on Just for Laughs. "Hello, moose fuckers."
And that's it.
They pull the plug. That's it. Done.
Awesome. Oh,
that's hilarious.
Okay, second story. So, and you'll see a theme in these three stories. Second guy goes up to do some gig in some town in northern England, and it's a small town. Mm-hmm. And they had just had like a huge child molestation ring broken up in the town. And they arrested like, I don't know, 30 or 40 guys, right?
Jeez.
So he comes into the gig. It's packed. There's 1,000 people. You know where this is going. So he's in the room, 1,000 people. It's packed, you know, sold out, standing room, walks on stage. He goes, "Wow, it's so great to see so many people out here tonight. I thought you would be home molesting your kids."
Oh, my
Bam!
God.
They pull the mic. They turn the mic on. He's done. The balls to say that right when it had gone down. So here's the third one. Another comic. And Dundridge represents all these
three
guys. He's telling me.
Awesome.
I got tears in my eyes, right? Then he tells me the third one. This. He goes, "The guy's going up to do a benefit for some Catholic association up in northern England." Mm-hmm. And they've sold 1,500 tickets again. The place is packed out. And this was like, I don't remember what year it was, but it was when the Betamax had only been out. You know, it was right after, you know how Autofocus, remember the movie Autofocus, and he's trying to sell Betamaxes to people?
Yeah,
and they were really expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when they first came out, they were $4,000 for
a
Betamax.
Because they were so much better than VCRs, they were just too expensive.
Too expensive. Yeah. But they actually
we
went
TV,
VHS, yes.
VHS, yeah, whatever. Yeah. That machine, okay.
Yeah.
So
the Betamax,
The Catholic Church had just had this big raffle or something, and they actually bought one.
Okay.
And then the same day he's supposed to do the show, somebody stole the Betamax.
Oh, no.
And he found out, right?
Oh, no.
So he walks on stage, 1,500 people, and he walks up to the microphone, and he points to the left side of the, because it was like in the rectory or something, and there was Christ, you know, over on the cross. And he goes, "Oh, hey, you fuckers, I see you found the guy that stole the Betamax."
Oh, that's awesome. Come on. That's just awesome joke.
They turn the mic off. He's done.
See, that's on them. That's on them that they can't take a good joke.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
By the time he told the third one, I couldn't stop laughing, man.
That's
just
pretty funny.
Ever,
do you ever have the mic pull on you?
No. No, I never have.
Have you?
I've had people walk on me. This wasn't when I did crowd warm up.
Oh,
once.
Oh, you did.
The producer
how
walked.
How long did you do warm up for?
Like a year and a half ish, but I only probably did maybe 20 in the year and a half. And it was on Facts of Life. And the guy, like within, "Hey, how's it going, everybody?" walked up, grabbed the mic out of my hand. He goes, "That's not how you fucking do it. Hey, everybody, what's going on?" And he starts screaming at the as loud as he can. And I just roll in my eyes going, well, yeah, I mean, I was going to get into that. I mean, but it wasn't going to be the first thing out of my mouth.
God. Wow.
And he got really mad. But I think that there was a lot of pressure going on because Cloris Leachman had taken over from that other lady that was on. And my approach, too, was a lot of the shows that I did, it's like, I can't believe people have come out to see this show.
Right.
It's a dumb show. But okay.
I remember the Cloris Leachman, Mrs. Garrett Wars of 87.
Yes. Well, they were kind of, because she was like, she didn't know her line. I mean, I'm just hearing bits and pieces.
Cloris didn't know her line?
Yeah, and she's doddery, and she doesn't, and they're like all worried about her. And so there was a lot of pressure
going
on.
She was up there at that point. I mean, she's old now, but she was.
And she was like cantankerous, because like it wasn't her show.
Is she still around? Yeah. Is she still with us?
I think she threw up on... She choked on her own vomit.
John Bonham.
Yeah.
Did we find an answer to that?
Yeah, 40 shots of vodka in the morning, and then a show, and then choked on his own vomit.
That's amazing.
But anyways, no, not in a club. I've had a couple of times... people have walked on stage to try to grab the mic, but never like some that I've said anything wrong where they've pulled.
You've walked on stage to grab
I had a guy.
A comic or just an audience?
No, an audience member that was mad. A woman and
you're
then
so
a guy.
Joel.
I know, right? But that's another. Well, it's it was in Kansas City. I'll tell it quickly. The audience.
You don't have to. That's
very,
why we're here.
Okay.
I don't want to bore you with the road story.
Listen.
Yeah.
Get back
quick.
To this.
Yeah.
The audience was very rowdy, and it was fun rowdy though. Mm-hmm. Fun rowdy. It was always like you had to keep a cap on it a little bit, which was always a challenge for me. And this woman in the front, drunk, kept at it, and I just made the announcement. I go, look, if you keep at it, I'm going to call you the C word. I am. And the audience, yay! They wanted it.
Yeah, of course.
But I wanted to get their approval first,
yeah, sure.
Of course, before I go there.
And we're talking
which
about
is what I've always liked about you.
Cat. Yeah,
cantankerous.
Yeah. Cantankerous.
Yeah.
Is that a C?
Yeah, I'm going to call you Cloris Leachman.
Cloris.
Yeah.
It was
close. Clitoris. I'm going to call you Clitoris Leachman.
So she.
Why is that not a.
Why is that not a
Derby girl's name? Clitoris Leachman.
Clitoris Leachman.
At least a porn name.
Virus and come on, Clitoris Leachman.
Clitoris Leachman.
All right, I'm officially. Editing that.
We got to write that.
Stealing it.
I know, right?
Oh my God, it's part of my. By the way, I reserve all rights to make any of this my material. My show.
He edits it out. You're done. So she kept going. So she was drunk. She said it again, and I looked at the audience, and I go, do it! Because they wanted me to do it,
sure.
And I just said the word. I didn't even say Yura. I just said, looked at her, and went, meh. And she charged the stage right from the front row. Moved her drinks, spilled her drinks, and went after me. And the doorman, John Penny, do you know the comic?
Yeah,
John
Penny.
He was running the club kind of at that point, and he was at the door, and he's a big guy. He was a boxer, and he was like right there on the stage, like right by the door. So he was right there following the action, and he was on stage. Before she could get, and it's a small place, before she could get to me, he was on her, and he threw her out. And then some random guy, the only other time some random dude in Tennessee decided to just come up, and he decided it was his turn to tell jokes, and he came on stage and wrestled me for the mic a little bit and to tell jokes. And then the club owner goes, you can't let that happen. I go, what do you want? I go, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Your bouncers are supposed to not let that happen.
Yeah, I said, I don't have a lot of control on that. And so that was really weird. And then he wasn't a physical threat. I let him tell his joke, and then he wandered back off the stage, but it was just very bizarre, and I got, like, the guy got mad at me. So, that's it. Never pulled.
No? I did this, I just kind of remind, I did a, there's a Susanna Spies, I don't know if you guys know her.
I still heard her name.
Yeah, it's spelled like spies, but it's Spies. She started a room in Montrose, California?
Sure.
Which I thought I'd never been to. So I drove out and did it the other night. She's very kind. Really cool room. You guys should do it. I'll give you her number. It's a great workout room. Get a nice, good audience there. You know, good food. A little
nice.
Scratch on the side. It's not bad. It's a good workout room. But on the way up there, I remembered that, and this is kind of a road story. We'll just pretend I was a comedian when this happened. The only time I'd ever been to Montrose before was when I first moved to town like 20 years ago. And I thought I was going to be a rock star at that point. I was still playing music and stuff and had long hair and was hanging out in this flop house with a bunch of other musicians. And it was Christmas Eve, and nobody was going home for Christmas, so we decided to go out to Montrose, to this bar out in Montrose, and it was dollar night. So
awesome.
Dollar beer, dollar burger, dollar slice
of
pizza, dollar everything on the menu was $1.
Oh, my gosh.
So we went out there. We're eating. There's a band on the stage. We're having a good time. And we were tripping on mushrooms.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So that's mushrooms. A big element.
So we're all just out of our mind on mushrooms, and the band takes a 10-minute break. And my buddy, who I'm with goes, we're on. And I'm like, all right. I didn't know we were playing tonight. I'm like, all right. And we had played together before, you know, just kind of jammed. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
So we get up there. I put on the bass. My buddy gets behind drums. My buddy straps on the guitar. We start playing. Now, I was under the impression we had been asked to play.
Right.
Oh my God.
But right. We weren't. My buddy just took it upon himself to like, let's just
well,
play.
Mushrooms will do that to you. Yeah. They'll take you in strange places.
And it's almost like, you know how as a parent, you can hear your kid's voice out of a crowd of children.
Yeah.
Apparently that happens with guitar players also, because as soon as like somebody struck one chord, the band was inside.
Oh, sure.
Charging the stage, tackled me.
Well, you were touching their equipment.
Yeah,
oddly,
totally.
Right?
Oh, and I still don't even know what's going on. I was like, somebody just
hey,
asked
man.
Me to down, tackled.
Holy
Guitars everywhere. My buddy's still just—he couldn't get behind the drum set because he's
still kicking a beat.
Still just kicking the beat down. We're just getting the beat down.
Rolling on a river. He's still singing.
So we all crawl off the stage. We're like, "You're out of here!" Get thrown out. We're out of here. All right, we're going out to the car, and then we're like, "Where's Andy? Missing Andy, the lead singer." We turn around just as Andy is thrown out of the bar, literally thrown out of the bar. Just flies out of the guy. Bouncer walks over, picks him up. Punches him out.
Oh, wow.
Light out. So we pick him up. We drag him in the car. Drive home. 20 years later, I'm doing Montrose.
Hey, wait a minute.
Montrose.
I didn't get my dollar burger.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my burger, man.
Yeah, come
After
on.
He's getting pummeled.
Oh, my God.
We got to go back, man.
Oh, my
God. That's when I decided to get into stand-up and stop doing mushrooms.
Seriously, at the same time? Because one doesn't necessarily preclude the
That's
other.
True. That's true.
Except in Murray's case.
Yeah, there you go. You've never done mushrooms, have you?
No.
You're a body's a temple kind of guy, aren't you?
Trying to pretty much.
Yeah.
They got mushrooms at temples.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've had comics on here do you guys know Moshe Kasher?
I've heard the name.
I know
He's
the name.
A big... Burning Man guy.
Like, oh.
But he's sober, but still goes to Burning Man, which I don't understand that
at makes
all.
No sense.
I don't understand that at all. And I'm not condoning,
drunk.
I'm not condoning
high,
any drugs
sure.
or alcohol or anything like that. I just don't understand that.
No, going to like one of those hemp fests when you don't smoke pot would be, oh man, I just like the groove. all right.
Yeah.
But they've done, and I don't know if it was Moshe. I know it was my buddy Dax Jordan, and he told the story.
I love Dax.
So I'm not telling stories. Oh, you guys are from the same area?
Yeah, Portland. I love Dax.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Great guy.
And I think he was at Burning Man.
He goes to Burning Man all the time.
So he set up a stand-up area.
Oh, like outside
in Burning Man.
Yeah.
And then they all just tripped on mushrooms and did stand-up.
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine that.
I don't understand how I could never do that.
Yeah.
I could never do that.
I was always one of those guys, and I don't do drugs. This is a long time ago. I was always, if we were going to get high, I'm not leaving the house. You know what I mean? People are like, let's
be safe.
Take
safe
mushrooms and go to the mall. I'm like, no, I don't even want to go to the mall sober. I don't know. I don't expect me to take drugs and go to the mall.
Most of the time, I should have been home when I've taken mushrooms. But we went to see, this is a story that, so you've heard of Judd Apatow, right? He's told that story. I think he's told this story but on one of the shows, but I was the other guy. He didn't mention me by name, but it was me and two of the other writers from Roseanne and Judd, who was young at the time. We took mushrooms and saw Frank Sinatra.
Was it Alan Stephen?
What?
Was it Alan Stephen?
The other writers? No, Alan came in like 8 years after we were done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, way later. It was a guy named Brad Isaacs and Don Foster. Uh-huh. And so we had gotten these awesome tickets because we were all single. We had a ton of money. For us.
Right.
Without any. And we got these great seats right up front, literally like right up front. And so Don Rickles opened. Well, first of all, P. Isadora was first.
Yes.
And we just were like.
She was.
So she went on and
she
we
was,
were all.
Wait, she was what?
She went on. I mean, she was on stage, and we were looking at each other.
Of course, she was on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Big
Vegas.
And okay, so Frank has, and this is his, comeback. No, this is the Greek.
Oh, okay.
And this, he hasn't performed in 10 years. This is his comeback. And so we were in the front area, the first group, and we were like, turn around. It's like, oh yeah, there's Nancy behind us, Nancy Sinatra, and all these other luminaries of show business. And our area in the front were all these Italians, older Italian people. And Don, our friend Don Foster, quickly realized these are all Frank's relatives that have come to see the show, right? And like there was all no young people, and we were the youngest. And so Pia was great, and we were like, oh God, we're here. And then Don Rickles came on. It was like, oh my God, this is awesome, Don Rickles. And we're laughing our heads off. And so he does a bit. And what the great thing was, is too, is like, and, you know, he's going, and the black guy, what are you thinking? There's not a black guy in the entire Greek theater.
Of course.
Right? What's the gay guy? The Indian guy. There's nobody. And he just points and says, right? And we were like going, oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. And so he has a thing in his act where he brings some people on stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the bit was, but he brings people on stage. So he looks in the crowd, and there's nobody that he... in the first five rows that he can bring up. They're all old Italian people except for us.
And relatives.
Right. And he probably knew him. And so he looks in my friend Brad Isaac's eyes and says, you, come on stage. So Brad drifts up onto stage, right? And honest to God, the three of us are all kind of looking at each other and looking at Brad on stage, not knowing if this is really happening or not.
Right, right.
That was a big part of it. And then he says, for some reason, Don says, well, what's your name? And he says, Brad, what's your last name? Isaacs. And for some reason, Don thought that that was a funny enough line to drop the mic. So he does a mic drop. And the crowd goes crazy. And Brad looks at us going, what just happened? We're looking at him going, we don't know. We're shaking our heads going, we don't know. And then there's a part where Don hugs them, you know, at the end of the bit. And again, I can't remember the bit, but... but Don is facing away from the audience. Brad is facing the audience, looking directly at us, and again going, am I really here? And we're giving him the clue, like, we don't know.
Oh,
and then he came
God.
Back to the seat, and we're all discussing how weird that was. And then Frank came on, and it was just an amazing night because we honestly, you're just on so many levels.
Oh, absolutely.
At that time. And then the three of us, without Judd, me, Brad, and Don decided to do it again, and we saw the movie Fantasia.
Yeah.
On mushrooms.
On mushrooms.
Yeah, just because it seemed like a very odd thing to do.
Yeah.
And halfway through, the movie's burned out. We were at the arc light. Like, it had one of those... where the movie started burning. And we were going, we caused this somehow. And there was probably... it was at the arc light, Cinerama Dome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we were seeing it. It was like on a Wednesday night or whatever. And there might have been 30 people in the entire audience, because they'd been playing it for a little bit, and it was like a dead night. And only like a couple of days afterwards, we realized how fucking loud we were, laughing and screaming at every moment in this theater of 30 people. How insane we must have been. But those were my two mushroom adventures.
I have a Pia Zadora story.
No. She was great, by the way.
Oh, yeah? You know, I think. She's the only person to ever share a marquee with Frank Sinatra. Because her husband owned all the major casinos.
He was a big-time guy. Yeah,
so he owned all the major casinos in Vegas. It's the only reason Frank Sinatra ever shared a name with anybody else was Pia Zadora.
He was a huge mogul producer. And when you said, of course she was on that, yes. Like, of course she was part of it.
I went down my first time working Vegas at the Improv again. Bud showed up. Bud showed up, and I was hosting, but the way they structured that show was the host comes up, does 5 minutes, brings on the feature does 20, and then the host comes back and does 10.
Oh.
And then the headliner does like 30. It's a really short show. However, that comes out to an hour and five, but that's the structure. So actually, the best spot is the host.
Yeah.
Because
you've got all that warm-up time, then you just kill for 10 minutes, and there's no pressure on the headline. Anyway, so Bud shows up, and it's my first time here. And I'm like, oh, fuck, Bud's got to show up my first time here. Come on, man, this sucks. And so he comes. There's kind of two parts of the story. And forgive me, guys, if I told the story before, listeners. Bud comes up. They're promoting something. And he comes up with this monocle. He's like, Murray, before you bring up the headliner, do me a favor and bring me up. And I'm like, okay, sure, but... you know, play it up. You've got a special guest. You know, coax me up there. Coax me up. I'm like, Bud, I got your back, buddy. I know exactly what. I'll coax you up there. I'll make a big deal about it. It'll be great. He's like, thank you. So I got to do my time. I go, before we bring our next headliner up, we got a special guest. Thank you, Murray. Like, he just, like,
He
didn't even get
awesome.
It out. I didn't even get to his name. Yeah. He's like, thank you, Murray. I'll take the mic from here. And I'm like, Bud Friedman,
everybody.
Oh, my
God.
So anyway, he was great. I got along great with his wife. I think his wife's name's Silver.
Yeah.
Or that was his first wife.
One of his wives.
Yeah, one of his. Whatever wife I was with.
She was there.
She was great. And then he's like, oh, there's a benefit for a comedian in Vegas who has passed away now, but she had cancer. And I don't remember her name. She's probably from, I think she's from your era. Because Max Alexander was headlining.
Okay.
And Bud's like, we're doing this benefit downtown, Murray. You should come down and enjoy it.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, sure. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go. And Max is like, Bud just invited you downtown. You're going downtown.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'm like, okay. So I went. And it was great in this old, old school day. We're talking about this on the last episode, unless we're talking about this on the next episode, depending on where this episode drops. Just old school Vegas. Like, you know, a theater, it's all red. The waitresses are 130 years old, but not, you know, because they've been there since 54,
right?
Still wearing the same outfit, you know.
Should have been on mushrooms.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God, if ever.
But right? It was just great old comedian David Gee.
David Gee,
sure. Yeah. I don't know David, the consummate professional host. And then like the coasters were on it.
Oh my gosh.
And Gallagher. But I had backstage privileges.
Access. Nice.
So I would go back, have a drink, hang out. Max Alexander was on it. To have some pizza, have some drinks.
Yeah.
And I start talking to this one girl and I'm like, boy, she looks familiar. I can tell she's not a comic. You know, you can just tell she's not. I don't know. And she's just talking. She's like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a comic. Are you going on? No, I'm just guest the Buds. Oh, Bud Friedman. Oh, right. I know Bud. And she's like, excuse me one second. And she walks on stage and just starts singing.
And it was.
And it was Pia Zadora.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that until, because I didn't hear her intro. So it was weird that she's like, excuse me.
And then
and, like,
boom.
Walked on stage and started singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town or something. So then she's like, give it up for Pia Zadora. I'm like, oh, that's who that was. So at the end, I'm like, hey, Pia, big fan. I'm always going to say that to you.
Sure.
Even if, you know, I could run into, I don't know, Smash Mouth, the lead singer.
Why wouldn't
a big
you?
Fan, you know? Yeah.
Or those 90% of comedians that are.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt.
So she's like, can I get a picture? She's like, sure. So her son was with him and she took a picture and and I'm like, thanks. He's like, hold on. And she's like, I don't like it. Take it again. So took another one. I don't like it. Take it again. He's like, oh, actually, we need to go in different light. So we went outside to the foyer of a casino. She's like, I think the lighting in here is good.
And she doesn't want anything bad.
I know. I'm like, this is only going on Facebook.
Right.
You know, it's like literally 20 minutes of taking her picture. And we finally
get the right one.
Hilarious.
We got the right one.
Nice.
And then she's like, hey, I'm singing at, and I don't know the name of it, but it was like Zenora's.
Yeah.
On Saturday. You should come after the show. And I'm like, you're Pia Zadora singing at Zenora's. You couldn't find a different restaurant? Because don't you think that's a little confusing?
And then your friend said, Pia Isadora just invited you. You have to go.
I know. You have to go. And I couldn't make it because of the
my Saturday show. Damn, you could have been all hooked up.
All hooked up with it in case I ever wanted to do a gig at Zadora's.
Oh. Yeah.
Following Zadora.
Zadora.
Anyway, I'll have to bring up that picture somewhere.
Yeah.
I miss Vegas.
Yeah, I never, like I said, it was not happening when I, in like 92, there was a couple of rooms and the store had a room, but I wasn't in at the store.
Right.
And they had a couple of, Rodney had a really weird room, Rodney Dangerfield, at the Frontier, before they tore it down. Not very well attended, but it was Rodney Dangerfield's room. I knew the woman. She was married to one of my best friends, and she sort of booked it. And I was there and I did a guest spot there once. So I can't say I never did it. But it was just like, and they go, oh, you got to come back. I go, yeah.
Don't think so.
By the way, Rodney doesn't need a last name. When you just said Rodney had a room, we all knew.
Yeah. Rodney, room. That was for the other people.
The same people for AD and
exactly. Yes, it was for them.
AC. Absolutely.
But Vegas is sort of kind of come back, and where is it at now? There's a lot of rooms.
There's a lot of rooms. Comedy Cellar just opened one out of New York. But it's not what it was. And again, we talked about this last episode. It's just not what it was. It wasn't even what it was when I was there, I still loved it when I first started going there.
I always thought that the goal was, or not, you know. know, the height was to be like the an opener for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, that would be at like Caesar's. Interesting. Yeah, at Caesar's. Yeah.
Where they're giving right? you a shitload of money.
Yeah. yeah. Flying you out. And,
yeah.
Like I that talked to a bunch be. Of those guys, like Max Alexander.
They all
used
did
to
that.
Open for Sinatra.
Right.
And stuff like that. That was the gig.
That seemed
man.
Like, and your name really big. Yeah. That would be cool.
There's still nothing, even as much as Vegas changed, and I said this on the line, there's nothing better than seeing your name on a marquee in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's just
yeah.
the best.
Yeah. Even if you have to Photoshop it.
Yeah.
That's what I did with the Pia Zadora. I never met her. Do you find coming back into stand-up hard, the transition?
You know, it wouldn't. It's all the stuff you wouldn't imagine is hard.
Oh, okay.
Like staying out late, dealing with 90% of the no.
Yeah. I second that.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, working places, you know, look, as a professional, you walk into, we talked about this a lot too, you walk into a room and you go, well, this is the room, so mm-hmm. I'll do it.
Right.
And there's so many mics now that are just comics, and I would rather sit around a table with comics mm-hmm. and joke around, you know, and have fun rather than be up on stage and do my
being judged act. By other comics.
Sure. Well, and I'm not even worried about the judge part. It's just like I have an act for civilian people that aren't comics.
Right. Not, right. Yeah. That's what I meant, actually.
I can be funny with you guys. You guys are professional comics, yeah. and we can sit around and joke around. But mm-hmm. I'm not going to stand up here and do my act.
Right.
I might be able to sneak in some jokes that I'll do from in my act later, but... So I get nothing out of – if you need to stand up in front of people again, if you need to get that – and I've worked – you know, some of these other guys that are kind of coming back again, mm-hmm. I won't name names, but they need
Judd
that.
Patel.
Yeah, exactly. They, he's like the only one that never had to do a bad open mic coming back
I
because
know,
of
I
his
know.
Fame.
That and that was my point because we talk about – there's certain rooms in the cities where, and the comics are good, mm-hmm. not the Store or the Improv, but they have good comics on the show. But the way the room has been built mm-hmm. is all messed up. But if you get to any of these ones that are more like mics with the younger comics, and I don't remember because it's been so long when right. I was first coming out. Maybe we were all like that too. But there is so much, again, we're back to that 90% thing. And then the idea that you're just starting out and so much anger and jealousy because you're not getting paid.
Right.
Then you're a guy that's been paid. Joel's been paid. You've been paid. I've been paid. I don't mind going up in a room. Like, let's say there's only 15 audience members and then there's 10 comics and it's you guys. Mm-hmm. And we're all doing 10 minutes or something. I don't mind that at all because I'm going to laugh at you.
Right.
I'm going to be in the back. If you're funny and a good guy, there's nobody better to have in an audience than me.
Right.
But not those guys.
Yeah.
They're going to make it bad for you. The omniscience in the room is bad. It has a...
Well, part of like it, at least you've even mentioned rooms where there are 8 paid people and 10 comics.
Right.
I'm talking about not even
seriously.
8 paid
right.
people. I'll go on in front of 8 paid.
Yeah.
That's a crowd.
Yeah.
They've come to see... some stand-up.
Right.
I'll take that challenge, not enjoying it a whole lot, but it's a different group. But that's the kind of stuff that's quality stage time to get your act together again. And then, like, if you don't work a lot, I was talking to Barry, right? Barry Trachtenberg, who's come back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, you have to live and die so much on your last show that if you don't have a good show or a subpar show, a show you're not happy with, not even eating it, just a show that you're not happy with, it might be 2 to 3 weeks before you get to a place.
You just wear it for 2 to 3 weeks?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're on the road or if you're a professional working comic somewhere else, working somewhere else or whatever, you might have a chance to go up in 2 days or you're booked again tomorrow.
Or the next show.
The next show that night,
right.
So you don't have to live and die so hard on your last. That's what's odd and difficult.
That makes sense. Yeah. I was in Florida over the Hartford first week of January, and there's a comic promoter down there who always, he'll just produce a show for me down there. I mean, he produces his own show, but he'll have me.
If you're coming down,
get a show going for you.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we did that, and it was only one this time because it was kind of last minute. His name's Fassel. Hey, Fassel, you're probably listening. And then I was just, I'm staying at my father-in-law's, and my father-in-law's great, but he's 85. He's, Luddite, no internet, no, you know, the whole thing. It's Florida, the heater's on. I call, and he's in bed at 7. My 7 year old is in bed at 8.
Yeah.
And my wife is like cooking for her dad the whole time. And so I'm just
And
that's a hard road gig. Right there.
One day I call Fassel, the producer. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
if there's a microphone,
I don't care if it's a bowling alley.
Yeah, I don't care.
Just get me out of this house.
I'm commandeering the clown face at the Jack in the Box.
Yeah, yeah.
Get me to a mic out of here tonight.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, let me find something. And he's like, well, I found this. It's a musician's open mic, but you know, I know the guy, and he said we could come down and do time. And I'm like, perfect. And so we get down there, and it's just like every other, but it's all musicians.
Mm.
So when I go up. I have a great time. I just start riffing
about
music, and I know about music, and I know guitar, you know, all that stuff. And I had a blast, and they were happy that it was not another
musician.
Yeah.
Just like if a musician
maybe would that's the key to and go so to different
that's,
mics.
That's my point. So the guy's like, hey, we never get comics here. You guys should come back.
Yeah.
And I turned to Fassel. I'm like, dude, keep it a secret. But get you and your two best friends or whatever, and you guys come here every Tuesday.
Yeah.
If you don't have any work.
It can be your hidden mic to try stuff out.
So
bring in one comic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you think that there, now you've seen it, like it seems like there's a giant glut of mics, comics, places right now in this time of the universe.
And there's so many bad acts.
Well, that's given because, you know, supply and demand. I mean,
there's people that are trying. They have one the other day. Yeah. It was on Facebook, and normally I don't even look at it. Some girl got up at, what's his name's room out in Van Nuys? Mm-hmm. Billy Batts, which I don't know.
Springbok. In Van Nuys,
And this girl got up and did a 5-minute rant, just racist. She was like a white trash girl. Dropping the N-word.
Oh, all right.
And they taped it, but they let her finish her set.
Uh-huh.
So that went off on a thread that was just like,
and do you think she was bad or new bad? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a difference.
Because I run into so many people, and I go, well, you've been doing it a year, you've been doing it 2 years, even 3 years. I'm going, I would not want to have to try to build an act here. You know, first of all, you're competing with people that are coming to town with an act.
Right.
You've been doing it for 8 to 10 years.
The guy the other day when I did the Federal Bar, remember that guy? And he said, I asked him, I thought he'd been doing it a year or two because he was, I mean, they were all terrible that night.
Yeah.
But then I closed out the show and it was fine. But
thanks.
He goes, oh, no, I've been doing it 15 years. And I was like,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And I was like,
and we're shaking our heads.
I can't believe this guy's been doing this 15 years because he's terrible. He hasn't made any.
If he'd been doing it 3, you'd go, well, you're a little ahead of the game.
He had a decent personality, but it's just material. I mean, no clue.
Right. Yeah. Now I've run into a few of those.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, let me tell you this. There are a lot of places to get up. Some people say we're in a comedy boom. Some people say it's about to pop. So, Joel, get back on more on stage because we need more funny people.
Oh, thanks.
Absolutely.
I will.
Funny, nice people.
Funny, nice people. Yes.
Yeah.
And always good to see you guys. Thank you for coming over.
Thank you.
We're
doing the Federal Bar together.
When is that?
22nd?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing Vitello's on the 29th.
Oh, yeah. You got your Vitello's
show. Wendy Liebman show. That's great.
Although I'm upset because she's not going to be there because she's still
recuperating.
Staying laid up. So okay. I'm upset.
Is that coming Tuesday or next Tuesday?
Okay, so the
Just text me and remind me.
Yes,
or absolutely. Tell the people. Actually, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Federal Bar the 22nd.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. We'll keep because I'm looking to get out of because I'm not January's really open for me. So I'm talking about hanging out late at night at the Improv. Man, it's been rough. But I've been hanging out. I've been getting spots, so it's good. But
cool.
It's also getting home at 3 kind of blows.
It's hard. It's when you got a kid and a wife and you got to get up.
I got to get up early. Yeah, with
absolutely.
The kid.
Yeah. So listen, Joel Madison. Keith Ross Nelson, Ross Keith Nelson, Nelson Ross.
Yeah, there
Keith,
you go. Anyway,
however you
Nelson
want to
Eddie
it.
Ross.
Just glad to be here.
Oh man, I'm glad you guys come. And I'm
glad to be out of the house.
Totally on a Sunday,
away from the 18 cats. I'm
absolutely
happy.
Absolutely. And I always like talking to you, Keith, because it always goes a little below the surface in most people, and I always really appreciate that.
Oh, thanks,
so,
man.
I really do, and I hope you guys appreciate it. And thanks again for listening at Murray V on Twitter. Murray V.
Is Murray V on Twitter?
Instagram.
On Instagram.
No, not during my plugs.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I was giving you that shadow.
Oh, okay. And come see these guys when they come to your town. Very funny. Thanks, guys. Thanks for doing it. That's where you say you're welcome.
Thank you very
much. Thank you for having us.
I thought you wanted to have the last word. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
No problem.
You want to know about life on the road? It's booze, tacos, angry dwarves, strippers waving guns,
and
bees, fights, candle flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette. Drunks in the front, making out through your set.
And
middle acts doing blow more, missing merch.
And
drive the rental car past another mega church.
And
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone. One big Law and Order marathon.